Chapter 24. Hours, days, weeks, months. I'm not sure how long it took to melt all the gold, platinum, osmium, iridium, and other metals into soup and pour it into the core of the planet successfully. But the real answer was that it felt like it took forever and no time at all, because we were all working incredibly hard at a breakneck pace. I could use my power over cold to keep the metal from solidifying while we poured it into the core, but the moment I teleported the empty bowl back into space for Queenie to refill, it would start to solidify, albeit really slowly. It also would melt everything else down there, turning the framework I'd made into bits of molten magma. Still, teleportation was a thing. And with it on my side, I made a bazillion trips back and forth, taking molten metals and pouring them into the center of the planet. We started with the densest materials, along with a good helping of iron, nickel, and cadmium, and when most of them had been poured into the planet, we started mixing in less dense, but still kind of dense materials, like silver, molybdenum, and niobium. So, in the end, we had a core and inner core full of molten liquid metal, and that caused a bunch of earthquakes to fracture the surface of the planet as it began to adjust to its new gravity. Admittedly, I was a bit worried the planet might explode like a bomb because of the added pressure, but fortunately, the planet just shifted on newly formed tectonic plates as it rotated around, restarting its new dynamo. That said, the planet's surface was definitely different as it began to settle. Even with the sudden earthquakes caused by the escaping heat of the molten rock below.
"How long until the planet is ready, Master?"
Queenie asked as she stood next to me. We stood just a few feet from the massive hole I dug, only now it wasn't a hole because it was filled with magma. It wasn't all metal since much of the rock in the mantle had melted due to the extreme heat and pressure of the new metal core. "I'm not sure," I said as I tried to run the computations in my head. "It all depends on when the planet stabilizes, and my best estimates are in terms of millions of years." I sighed as another earthquake rocked the whole planet, and if I wasn't a god, I might have been scared. "Right now, we've drastically increased the mass of the planet's core, and with it increased the gravity significantly. So we have to wait for the mantle and crust to readjust." I waved my hands at the surroundings.
"Hence the earthquakes."
I nodded into the distance where a plume of red-hot rock and debris burst from the surface in a volcanic explosion.
"And the volcanoes."
I scratched my cheek.
"While I have calculated how to add the materials so that once it stabilizes, we have a proper liquid-to-solid ratio and that the magnetic field generated by said core is able to effectively keep the sun from baking the planet to a crisp as it strips off the atmosphere, there are a lot of variables involved in the cooling process."
"Is there anything we can do in the meantime?"
Queenie asked, and I realized she was anxious for something to do. After all, the last several weeks had been a flurry of activity, and now we were just waiting.
"Perhaps I could begin mining the other planets."
She said more, but I honestly didn't hear it because at the moment, a notification appeared across my vision.
"A mirror to a new world has opened up. Would you like to investigate?"
"I think we'll have some other things to do in the meantime," I said, right before I teleported us back to the Hall of Mirrors. As promised, there was now a new mirror, and though I couldn't see into it very well, I could just make out the edges of a forest within.
"What is this, Master?"
Queenie stared at the mirror in confusion. "It's a new world," I said as I looked closer, trying to discern information about it. Unlike the training dungeon, this one did not appear to be a dungeon, which made sense since the message had called it a new world. That meant it was, more or less, a fully functioning place on the other side. And likely, once I stepped into it, I'd have an objective to complete before I could return to my planet.
"But it is not a dungeon."
Queenie chewed on her lip for a moment.
"So, I do not understand its purpose."
"We'll have to enter to find out," I shrugged. "And if we don't go soon, we'll run the risk of it closing. If that happens, we'll lose access to whatever it is in there we were supposed to find."
"Ah."
Queenie was silent for a moment. "Do you think Rhapsody has put it here now because she knows you have time to enter?" It was an interesting question, to be sure. While new worlds had sometimes opened up in the middle of something time-sensitive, usually it had been after a major event had been accomplished. "I think so." I rubbed the back of my head. "I give it even odds that by the time we finish whatever is through there," I gestured at the mirror, "the planet here will be stabilized. At least, that is how it worked in Terra Forma."
"I agree with your assessment, Master," Queenie replied, absolute faith in her voice. "Your logic is infallible."
"I mean, it's a good guess," I said with a shrug. "And it's not like we have anything else to do." Admittedly, part of me was hesitant about stepping through the mirror without any equipment. I still had an inventory full of stuff, and I had added a few chunks of gold, silver, and platinum into it, as well as various gems. I'd even taken the liberty of also grabbing some flint and iron ore to spark fires, but I still had nothing in the way of real equipment. And let's just say that my attempts to fashion usable weapons out of metal were, well, lacking, because I didn't have enough control over my powers yet. When I was higher level, though.
"Do we need anything else?" Queenie asked, and I rubbed my chin as I thought about it.
"We also had a few roughly hewn jugs I'd made out of stone and filled with ice. That was when I found that, like in Terra Forma, things in my inventory didn't really age, so the ice had stayed nice and frozen." "I'm going to just cook some more food for the road, and then we'll go," I said, not bothering to add that the meat I was going to cook had come from the ants I'd killed during our trips to the training dungeon. I wasn't sure why I cared, since Queenie hadn't cared much before either.
"Would you like me to do it, Master?"
Queenie said, as I moved to step out of the Hall of Mirrors so I could use the star to barbecue me some ant.
"I will gladly cook for you."
"I actually like doing it myself, but you're welcome to come." I smiled at her.
"I would like that very much." She nodded and followed me out.
As we approached the sun, I began taking out some of the butchered ant meat. It had been sorted into grades based on the type of ant it had come from. As I moved toward the sun with a few chunks, I decided to just cook the worst of it because I wanted to level up my cooking skill, if it was a thing here, before I tried cooking with the higher grades of meat. After all, in Terra Forma, high cooking combined with good ingredients could make foods that granted stat bonuses in addition to tasting great.
"Why are you only cooking scouts and sentries?"
Queenie asked, as I added a bit of salt I'd found while digging to the meat for flavor.
"Surely the soldiers and other ants would be better."
I turned to see her nose wrinkled. "You're not disgusted that I'm eating ants?" I asked as I picked up the salted meat and moved closer to the star.
It is but the chain of life. Things that die must be eaten.
She shrugged as the meat began to sizzle and pop, and I soon wished that I could smell it out in the vacuum of space.
If they had fallen in my old kingdom, we would have eaten them as well.
Well, in that case, I said as I finished the first piece and broke it apart, would you like the first piece? I offered her the greasy lump of cooked ant flesh.
It would be better for you to eat first.
She bowed her head.
As you are the master, and I am but your queen.
I insist. I waggled the meat.
Very well,
she said. But she still looked at me strangely as she took the hunk in her delicate fingers and took a small bite. Then her eyes widened in shock.
Oh, master!
What? Is it bad? I asked, suddenly worried. Then I glanced at her info page to see if she'd been poisoned.
This tastes amazing!
She swallowed the bite in her mouth.
What did you do to it?
I just salted it. I shrugged and took a bite of my own piece. And the taste was quite unlike anything I'd ever had, like salty, spicy beef with kimchi. I wasn't even sure how that had happened, but I was so pleased that I ate the whole piece, even though I didn't actually need to eat while I was a god.
Please always salt the meat, master.
Queenie grinned at me.
It makes it very delicious.
I'll do my best, I said, as I finished up the rest and put it into my inventory. Glad to see those lessons I took with that iron chef paid off.
You worked with a chef made of iron?
Queenie asked, suddenly confused.
How does he move?
It's just a title, I said with a wave. Anyway, I think we're about as ready as I can be. Unless you can think of something else?
No, master.
She shook her head.
We have food and water.
She smiled.
My kind do not require much else that we cannot easily find along the way.
Well then, I said as I teleported us back to the mirror. Let's get this show on the road.